Welcome to Story Night. Tonight we're going to sit around the fire, so to speak, and listen to some of the most important stories in the Bible. You may know some of them, some might be new to you, but we've chosen the ones that are essential to understanding a lot of Catholic teaching. They've been simplified somewhat, but you can look them up and read the full text in your own Bibles whenever you like. And if you don't have a Bible, we will eventually be getting one to you. But that's the list on your table, is the references for the stories we're going to look at. You can take that home. But sit back, grab some popcorn, and enjoy. The Bible begins with an Old Testament, and then there's a New Testament. So the Old Testament, throughout those pages, we meet a God who is so filled with love that he reaches out to his people again and again. The first pages of the Old Testament tell us what happened at the beginning of the world. God created the world and all that is in it. He called Adam and Eve to live in his happiness, but they rebelled against him. God then called a holy people through Abraham and Sarah. He protected them from their enemies. He saved them from slavery in Egypt through Moses and made a mighty nation with David as king. And most important of all, God made a holy covenant with his people that he would always be their God and they would always be his people. Even when his people turned away from him, God did not stop loving them. He allowed them to suffer the consequences of their behavior so that they would turn from their sins and return to him. God sent them prophets who taught them the ways of the Lord, and he led them back from exile to the promised land. The final pages of the Old Testament show that God's love is far beyond what we should expect. He promised his people that he would send a chosen one to call them out of their slavery to sin. He prepared for the day when he would send his only son, Jesus, into the world. But let's go back to the very beginning and hear the story of creation that Brian's going to read for us.
Creation story. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be a dome in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters." So God made the dome and separated the waters that were under the dome from the waters that were above the dome. And so it was. God called the dome sky, and there was evening, and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the sky be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the earth put forth vegetation, plants and fruit trees of every kind on earth." And it was so. God saw it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the dome of the sky to separate the day from the night." And it was so. God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night, and the stars. God set them in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, "Let the waters bring forth swarms of living creatures and let birds fly above the earth across the dome of the sky." So God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarm, and every winged bird of every kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth." And there was evening and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures of every kind, cattle and creeping things, and wild animals of the earth of every kind." And it was so, and God saw that it was good. Then God said, Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God he created them. Male and female he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. God said, See, I have given you every plant on the face of the earth, and every tree. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw everything that he had made, and indeed, it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning, the sixth day. So the heavens and earth were finished, and all their multitude. And on the seventh day, God finished the work that he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all the work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, because on it God rested from all the work that he had done in creation.
The next one is the fall. God called the first man, Adam, and the first woman, Eve. They lived in a beautiful garden that God planted for them called the Garden of Eden. In the middle of the garden, God also planted the tree of knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life. God said to Adam, You may eat the fruit of every other tree of the garden, but you must not eat the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. If you eat it, you shall die. Adam and Eve had all that they wanted. They knew that they would always be happy as long as they served God. Now the serpent was the craftiest of all the animals that God had created. One day, as Adam and Eve were walking through the garden, the serpent spoke to them. He said, You shall not die if you eat the fruit of the tree of knowledge. You will be like God, knowing good and evil. Eve took some of the fruit and ate it. Then she gave some of the fruit to Adam, and he also ate it. As soon as they ate the fruit, they realized that they had sinned. They became aware that they were naked, and they were ashamed. That evening they heard God walking in the garden, and they hid from him. God called out and asked them why they were hiding. He knew they had sinned. God ordered Adam and Eve to leave the garden. He placed two angels at the gate of the garden to prevent them from ever coming back. They would have to work hard and suffer much because of their sin, but God still loved them, and so he made them clothes so that they would not be naked. God punished the serpent. It lost its legs and had to crawl on its belly the rest of its days. Then God said to the serpent, I will put hatred between you and the woman. One day she will crush your head. God was promising that someday in the future, a woman would give birth to the one who would crush the evil one.
After they left the garden God had made for them, Adam and Eve had a family, and their descendants populated the earth. Eventually, humans became more and more sinful, and it grieved God to his heart. He decided to wipe out his creation and start over. But there was one righteous man and his family that God thought worth saving, Noah.
Now one day, the Lord told Noah to build a very big boat called an ark, to build it out of gopher wood. An ark big enough for Noah and his wife and his three sons and their wives. An ark big enough for two of every animal in the world. After about 120 years, Noah was finished building the ark. Then all the animals came into the ark safely with Noah and his family, and the Lord shut them in. The Lord then sent a great rainstorm that lasted 40 days and 40 nights. The waters rose higher and higher until you could not even see the tallest mountains. Only Noah and his family and all the animals that were in the ark were saved. The ark floated on the water for 5 months till it landed on the mountains of Ararat. There the ark stayed for 7 months till the waters went down and the ground dried up. At the end of the 7 months, Noah sent out a raven and a dove to search for a place to rest. After 7 days, Noah again sent out the dove, and it returned with an olive branch in its beak. Noah then lifted the covering off the ark and saw dry ground. Noah and his wife and his three sons and their wives and all the animals went out of the ark. Noah then built an altar to the Lord and offered sacrifices. The Lord saw this and sent a rainbow as a sign that he would never again send a flood to punish the world.
Humanity reestablished itself on the earth, and we humans did what we always do. We sinned again. The promise to Abraham. People began to forget the one true God. They made idols of false gods. They adored them and prayed to them. But God did not destroy them as he had done in the flood. Instead, he chose from the family of Shem and a man known for his faith. His name was Abram. One day God called to him, "Abram, leave your country and go to the land of Canaan." Abram obeyed God and began his long journey to Canaan with his wife Sarah, his nephew Lot, and his helpers and flocks. God picked Canaan as a home for Abram, because these valleys were the great centers where people lived. God rewarded Abram by making this promise, "I will give you and your children the land of Canaan. You shall be the father of a great people. Through you, all nations shall be blessed." Because of this promise, the land of Canaan was called the Promised Land. It covers the area of modern Palestine and Israel and parts of Syria. God was very good to Abram at Canaan. He gave him great riches. His flocks of sheep grew very large. But Abram had no children. Abram prayed to God, "Shall I die without children? Shall I have to give all my riches to the son of one of my servants?" God heard Abram's prayer. One hot day, three strangers came to Abram's tent. He welcomed them and gave them food. One of the strangers told Abram that in a year he would return, and by that time Sarah would have a son. Inside the tent, Sarah heard this and laughed to herself. "Shall I have a son," she said, "when I am old, and my husband who is old?" One of the strangers said to Abram, "Why did Sarah laugh? Is anything too hard for the Lord?" At these words, Abram knew that the three strangers were God's messengers. Abram trusted God and waited for a son. One day God said to him, "From now on, your name shall be Abraham, because you shall be the father of many nations. I will keep my promise and give you a son. I will bless him. He shall be the father of kings and nations. You shall name him Isaac."
Abraham and Sarah had waited a long time for God to keep his promise of a child. But they had faith, and their trust in God was rewarded.
Abraham's sacrifice. When Abraham was 100 years old, Sarah gave him a son. They called him Isaac, meaning laughter. For Sarah said, "God has made me laugh, and everyone who hears of it shall laugh with me." Abraham and Sarah loved Isaac with all their hearts because he had been sent as God had promised to make them happy in their old age. But God wanted to test Abraham to see whether he loved his son more than he loved God. One night God said to Abraham, "Take Isaac and go to a mountain that I shall show you. There, offer me your son as a sacrifice." Abraham became very sad. As he had always obeyed God, he was ready to obey him now. He cut wood for the sacrifice. With two servants and his son, he set out to find the place that God would show him. After 3 days, they came to a mountain called Mount Moriah. Abraham said to his servants, "Stay here while Isaac and I go up the mountain to offer a sacrifice." Abraham placed the wood upon the shoulders of Isaac, while he himself carried the fire and a knife. As they were going up the mountain, Isaac said, "Father, we have the fire and wood, but where is the victim for the sacrifice?" His father answered, "God will give us a victim for the sacrifice, my son." When they came to the place for the sacrifice, they made an altar and put the wood upon it. Then Abraham tied Isaac and laid him upon the wood. Just as Abraham was about to strike his son with the knife, an angel touched his hand and said, "Abraham, do not kill your son. God knows now that you truly love him, for you are ready to sacrifice Isaac at his command." These words made Abraham very happy. He saw a sheep caught in the bushes. He took the sheep and offered it to God as a sacrifice instead of his son. Then the angel told Abraham that God would bless him for this offering he had made, that he would have very many descendants, and that from his family, the Savior of the world, one day would be born. Isaac carrying the wood up the mountain is a picture of Jesus who carried his cross up the hill to Calvary. God said to Abraham, "I will bless you, and in your family shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." Before Abraham died, he saw how God carried out this promise. Isaac married Rebekah, and they had a son, Jacob. Jacob struggled with God, and so God changed Jacob's name to Israel. That's where we get the name of the people and the nation of Israel. Jacob had 12 sons. Each was the head of one of the 12 tribes of Israel.
Isaac married Rebekah and had a son named Jacob. Abraham and Isaac and Jacob are known as the patriarchs, and God often identifies himself in the Bible as the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. He was their God, and they were his people. Jacob struggled with God, so God changed Jacob's name to Israel, which means struggle with God. Jacob had 12 sons, and they lived in the promised land of Canaan for many years. When you read the Bible, you'll run into some of the names of the 12 sons: Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, and Benjamin. Especially if you've seen the movie Joseph and the Technicolor Dreamcoat, they're all in there. Each of the 12 settled in a different part of the country and gave his name to that area. The area where Judah lived was called Judah. The Romans later changed it to Judea, and people from Judah were called Jews. But before that, when it was still old father Jacob Israel and his 12 sons and their families, a great famine came over the land of Canaan. Through a series of adventures with the 11th son, Joseph, the whole family of Israel ended up in Egypt. They were given their own section of Egypt, and they lived there and prospered for generations. Moses, prince and leader. The king of Egypt was called the Pharaoh. After many years, a new Pharaoh ruled Egypt. He was afraid of the Israelites because they had become very numerous and powerful. So he put them to hard labor and made slaves of them. Then he commanded that every newborn Israelite boy should be thrown into the Nile. Just at this time, Moses was born, and his mother hid him as long as she could, for he was a beautiful child. And when he was 3 months old, she laid him in a little basket and set it among the rushes at the river's edge. His sister stood a little way off to see what would become of him. Soon the daughter of Pharaoh came down with her maids to bathe in the river. When she saw the basket among the reeds, she sent a maid to get it. The baby started to cry, and the heart of the princess was touched. Then the baby's sister ran up and asked, "Shall I get an Israelite nurse for the baby?" "Yes, do so," said Pharaoh's daughter. The girl went and called the child's mother. "Nurse this child for me," said Pharaoh's daughter, "and I will pay you." The mother nursed him and brought him up. And the child grew, and Pharaoh's daughter took him as her own son. She called him Moses, for she said, "I drew him out of the water." Moses was looked upon as a member of Pharaoh's household. He grew up like a prince and studied with the other children at the court of Pharaoh. He learned to read and write while his people were living in slavery. But Moses did not forget that he was an Israelite. He was full of sorrow when he saw his own people suffering. One day, when he was a young man, he saw an Egyptian master striking an Israelite slave. Moses was angry, and he struck the Egyptian and killed him. The next day, Moses learned that his deed was known, and he was afraid. Pharaoh wanted to put Moses to death. But Moses fled from Egypt into another country. Eventually, this Pharaoh died. The Israelites called on God to rescue them. Remembering his promise to their fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God heard their prayer. He made ready to deliver them from their trials. Moses had fled to the wilderness, and there he met and married his wife, Zipporah. He helped look after his father's sheep, but God did not want Moses to be just a simple shepherd.
One day, Moses, while leading the sheep of his father-in-law near a mountain, was startled by the sight of a bush on fire. He wondered why it did not burn up. He came closer to look at it, and he heard his name called by the voice of God. The voice told Moses to take off his sandals, for the place was holy. From the bush, God spoke to Moses. "I have heard the prayers of the children of Israel. I have seen how they suffer at the hands of the Egyptians. I will deliver them from their masters and take them to a land flowing with milk and honey. Go to the king of Egypt and ask him to let the Israelites go to the desert to offer sacrifice." Then God said to Moses, "Tell them that I am who I am has sent you. This is the name by which the Israelites since that time have known God. This name meant the everlasting and faithful God." Moses was still afraid to go back into Egypt. He made excuses. He said he was not good at talking, so God promised him his brother Aaron to speak for him and to help him. Moses had another excuse. The Egyptian king was too powerful. But God said to Moses that he would have powers greater than those of Pharaoh. Moses and Aaron went to ask the king of Egypt in the name of the Lord to let the Israelites go to worship and sacrifice in the desert. The Pharaoh answered, "Who is the Lord? Who is your God that I should hear his voice? I do not know him. I will not let the Israelites go." At God's command, Moses and Aaron went again to Pharaoh. They again asked him to let the Israelites go. Aaron threw his staff on the floor to show the power of God, and the staff became a serpent. Pharaoh's magicians also cast their staffs down, and their staff also turned into serpents. But Aaron's staff ate up all the other staffs. Still, Pharaoh would not free the children of Israel.
But God did not give up on his people. God had a plan.
The plagues of Egypt.
Because the Pharaoh would not free the children of Israel, God punished the land of Egypt. Every time that Pharaoh refused Moses, God sent the Egyptians a new plague. In all, he sent 10 plagues. First, the water in the river turned to blood. Second, frogs in great numbers filled the land. Third, the dust was changed into small insects that covered everything. Fourth, there came a pest of flies. Fifth, a disease killed all the cattle. Sixth, boils broke out on man and beast. Seventh, hail and lightning came. Eighth, locusts ate up all what the hail had left. Ninth, darkness covered Egypt. Still, Pharaoh would not let the Israelites go. Finally, God said to Moses, "I will bring one more plague to the Egyptians, one that will force the Pharaoh to free my people. Every firstborn in Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh himself to that of the slaves. There will be great weeping in Egypt." Before this last evil came upon Egypt, God ordered the Israelites to prepare for their escape. They were to offer a special sacrifice. On the 10th day of the month, each family was to take a lamb. They were to keep that lamb until the 14th day of the month. In the evening, they were to offer it in sacrifice and sprinkle the doorposts with its blood. Then they were to roast the lamb and eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. At midnight, the angel of death passed over Egypt, killing all the firstborn of the Egyptians, from the firstborn of Pharaoh to the firstborn of the poorest Egyptian, and taking also the firstborn of all the animals. Among the Israelites, no one died. The angel of death spared them when he saw the blood of the lamb, which God had commanded them to sprinkle over the doorposts. This was the first Passover. In fear, Pharaoh sent Moses and Aaron during the night. "Go," he said, "take your flocks, your people, leave Egypt."
Thank you. God was determined to rescue the Israelites and take them out of Egypt. But how did he do it? Moses led the Israelites out of Egypt. They went out in the night, 600,000 men, descended from the 12 tribes who came into Egypt with their father Jacob. With all their goods, they set out to worship God in the desert, as God had commanded. God went before them in a cloud by day and in a pillar of fire by night and led them toward the desert and the Red Sea. But when Pharaoh and his men saw that the Israelites were gone, they said to themselves, "What have we done? We have freed all our slaves." Pharaoh took his chariots and horsemen and went after the Israelites. When they saw his great army coming after them, the Israelites were afraid. They blamed Moses, crying to him, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to die in this desert?" Moses answered, "God will protect us." And we now have the classic Charlton Heston. A nice balance to the previous Prince of Egypt, Angel of Death.
Thy wind, and the sea covered them. Who is like unto thee, O Lord? From everlasting to everlasting, thou art God.
You couldn't even kill him.
Is God? Is God?
That's actually a pretty good version of that. You should keep that in mind, because when you get to the Easter Vigil and they read that portion from Scripture, you want to remember the horses and the riders in the water.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So the Israelites did not take a lot of luggage with them when they left Egypt, but God did not let his people go hungry.
The Israelites set out across the desert, but they kept saying, "If only we had died in Egypt instead of starving here. Now who will give us any meat in the desert?" The Lord said to Moses, "I will rain food from heaven for you, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God." That very evening many birds came. The people caught them and ate. The next morning, when the people looked out of their tents, they saw all around the camp on the sand little white flakes like frost or snow. Since they had never seen anything like this before, they said, "What is it?" In the language of the Israelites, the Hebrew language, "What is it?" is the word manu. Then, from then on, this new thing was given the name manna. And Moses said to them, "This is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat. Go out and gather it, as much as you need. But take only as much as you need for today, for it will not keep, and God will give you more tomorrow." So the people went out and gathered the manna. The taste of it was like bread made with honey. When some of the people tried to keep the manna until the next day, it spoiled during the night. So each morning they took up just enough manna for that day. On the sixth day they gathered twice as much to provide for the Sabbath, and it did not spoil. On the seventh day, manna did not fall. In this way, God showed that his day must be kept holy. God sent the Israelites manna for 40 years in the desert, until they came to the promised land. The manna from heaven is a foreshadowing of the Eucharistic bread, Jesus' body and blood, that we consume in Holy Communion.
In the desert, God made a covenant with his people. He would be their God, and they would be his people and obey his commandments.
The Ten Commandments. 3 months after the Israelites left Egypt, God called Moses up to the top of the Mount Sinai and gave him commandments written on tablets of stone. God spoke and said, "I, the Lord, am your God. You shall not have other gods besides me. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Remember to keep holy the Sabbath day. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife. You shall not covet anything that belongs to your neighbor." Moses was on the mountaintop with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. The people down below became tired waiting for him. They went to Aaron and said, make us gods to worship." Then Aaron said, "Bring your gold ornaments to me." He melted the gold, and from the metal he shaped an image of a calf. Moses prayed to God to spare the people. When he came down the mountainside and saw the golden calf and the people singing and dancing around it, he was angry. He threw down the tablets of stone and broke them at the foot of the mountain. The golden calf he burned and ground into powder, and he punished the Israelites. Again, Moses went up to Mount Sinai to pray for the people. God told him to make 2 tablets of stone like the ones he had broken. Moses wrote the Ten Commandments on them.
After wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, God finally led the Israelites to the promised land, the land of their fathers, of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They had many struggles along the way, but they eventually settled the territory. For many generations, they lived and were ruled by judges. Eventually, though, the Israelites wanted a king to rule them. All the neighboring countries were ruled by kings, and the people of Israel wanted to be like them.
David and Saul. The people decided they wanted a king to rule them. The first king of Israel was Saul, but Saul disobeyed God, and God chose a new king to replace him. At God's command, the prophet Samuel went to Bethlehem to choose the new king for Israel from among the sons of Jesse. Jesse called each of his sons to stand before Samuel, yet of seven sons, not one was chosen. And Samuel said to Jesse, "Are these all your sons?" "There is still a young one called David," said Jesse, "but he is tending the sheep." The father called for David, and David came in from the hillside of Judah. He was a handsome boy. The Lord said to Samuel, "This is he. Anoint him." So Samuel brought out oil and anointed David to be the king of Israel in the presence of his brothers. This seemed strange because King Saul was already on the throne. Yet from that time on, the Spirit of God left Saul and came upon David, God's chosen king. Alone with his flocks under the wide sky, David played his harp and sang aloud for joy. Saul was tormented when he learned that God no longer wanted him to be king of Israel. So Saul's servant said, "Let us bring you a man who will play on the harp and cheer you up." Then one of the servants said, "There is a fine player named David, a warrior, strong and handsome, and the Lord is with him." So Saul sent messengers to Jesse, saying, "Send me David, your son, who is with the sheep." David came to Saul. Saul loved him deeply and made him his armor bearer. He did not know that Samuel had anointed David to be king. After that, when the sadness came upon Saul, David would take the harp and play so sweetly that Saul would forget his troubles. Eventually, Saul became jealous of David and made up his mind to kill him. He failed, and David escaped into the wilderness. Saul eventually died, and David became king.
Tom is going to tell us what David did when he became king.
The city of David. The first thing that David did as a king was to lead his soldiers against the city of Jerusalem. He conquered it and made it his capital. He built a wall around it, and it was called the City of David. During the time that he ruled, David tried to lead the people to worship God as they should. He brought to Jerusalem the Ark of the Covenant that had been captured by the Philistines. Built in Moses' day, by God's command, the Ark of the Covenant was a chest of gold in which were kept the two stone tablets of the Ten Commandments, Aaron's staff, and some of the manna from the desert. It was also the sign of God's presence with his children. The Israelites carried the ark before them into battle, and it had been captured by the Philistines. David rescued it. David built a tabernacle on the Mount Zion to house the ark. Every day, sacrifices were offered before the ark. The ark was carried into the city with shouting and dancing, with the sound of the trumpets and harps and flutes. 30,000 armed men were the honor guard, and very many people joined in the great procession. David himself, playing on his harp and dancing with joy before the ark, was in the procession. David rebuilt the city, making new walls and towers and courts and palaces, so that Jerusalem, in her beauty and safety, became for the children of Israel a holy place, a city of God. David was a good king to his people and protected them from their enemies. During his rule, Israel became great and powerful. But David was also a great poet. Inspired by God, he wrote beautiful poems that today we call the Psalms. They're songs of praise and thanksgiving and of sorrow for sin. God loved David and promised that through the prophet Nathan, that the Messiah would be born of his family. The promise said, "Your house and your family shall be faithful, and your kingdom shall be forever. Your throne shall be firm forever." The Messiah was to be the king whose throne will be forever. David wanted to build a temple, but God, through another prophet, told him, "No, not you, but your son will build me a temple." David's son Solomon built God's temple in Jerusalem.
When Solomon died, his sons fought for control of the kingdom, and it was divided into Israel in the north and Judah in the south. Of the 12 tribes, 10 went to the north and 2 stayed in the south. The prophets warned the people and their kings to turn back to God, but the two countries now of Israel and Judah were conquered and the temple was destroyed. The people were led into exile. Eventually, they returned and began to build a second temple to replace the one that Solomon had built so many years before. The Israelites had control of their own country for a few short years, but it didn't last. The land was occupied first by the Persians and then by the Greeks and finally the Romans. Israel believed that the time of the prophets had passed, but a voice cried out in the wilderness. There was one final prophet, and his name was John. John began to prophesy out in the wilderness. Like most of the prophets, he called people to repent of their sins and turn back to God. He preached something new, baptism, immersion in the living waters of the Jordan River. John knew that something big was coming, someone big, the Messiah, the Savior and King who had been promised to David. So that's a good place to have a break and get up and have a bit of a stretch. And then we'll come back and start the New Testament.
We did the Old Testament in 40 minutes. That's correct. So I'm going to have a break.